the games, you follow the team, you wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Our last high school football interview of the year. We started our season wrap-up on Monday with Coach Josh Huntsman. We'll continue it right now with Emory Spartan football coach John Famalo. Emory's season came to an end last Thursday, suffering a 21-7 loss to Richfield in the opening round of the state tournament. Emory ends the season 1-9 overall. Coach, always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on, Jordan.
Definitely, Coach. Let's dive into it. Talk about the season-ending loss to Richfield last week. A tough game, really a tough game to swallow. A lot of good things happened in this game. The opening drive of the contest, you guys ate up about 7 minutes, got down inside the 10-yard line, and committed a turnover, which was kind of the reoccurring theme throughout the ballgame.
Yeah, no. That's kind of how our day went. We probably executed our game plan to a T. Like you say, take up 7 minutes of the quarter, get down there within the 10-yard line. The play before the turnover, a pass just a little bit behind Easton. Otherwise, I think he catches that, he walks in. So a little bit of, we didn't execute that play. Next play, we end up with the sack, turnover, and, they go down and score. And so a little bit disappointing in that, but, I don't think we're out of the game at that point, but again, second quarter, we do the same thing, take up a lot of the game clock and get out on the 1 foot yard line. And, we get a penalty, an unfortunate penalty, which, I didn't feel like was necessary. But, at the end of the day, we end up with 0 points that first half. That was a big momentum shift for us.
Football, I've always viewed football, Coach, almost as an extended chess match. A move that takes place at the 5 minute mark is going to dictate what takes place at the 2 minute mark. And with that being said, you could just sense in that first quarter that you guys were really wearing down Richfield. Defensively, I think you guys had such a mental and physical advantage over them at that 7 minute mark. And it seemed like everything just switched on the heels of really one play. That's kind of the vibe I got, especially sitting in the stands, being a little bit closer to the field, not being in the broadcast booth. It just seemed like that was such a monumental play to kind of dictate, maybe the next 10 minutes of game action.
Yeah, no, it was. You just saw that swing. We turn over the ball within our 20-yard line. I think it took them only about 4 or 5 plays. They go down and, score. And so, again, it was deflating, the kids, the stands. You kind of could feel that sense. But, at the end of the day, we still had plenty of opportunities. We just kind of set ourselves back to beat ourselves, truthfully, because I thought we outplayed them most of the 48 minutes.
I definitely agree with you, and I thought going into the game it was a favorable matchup for this team. Unfortunately, when you take a look at the final statistics, it's 360 yards compared to 167 yards for Richfield. It's 12 first downs for Emory compared to 6 first downs for Richfield. Statistically, it's so overwhelming in your guys' favor that you would never guess the final score was 21-7.
Yeah, and probably the biggest stat there is 6 turnovers to 1.
Right.
The yardage and all that, and the points and the turnovers, that's honestly what was the difference in the ball game right there.
They have such a true dual threat quarterback. Offensively, they have a couple of playmakers that I don't know if they touch the ball enough, but that offense is built around Emmett Hafen. And for the most part, I think you guys did what you needed to do defensively against this team.
Yeah, with the exception of that first drive, where we kind of just let him do what he wanted, in the opening drive of that second half, we worked with a little bit of a short field against special teams, gave up a big kick return. Other than that, I thought defensively we kind of kept him in check. The 2 scores with the second half and then that short turnover on that punt, that kind of, was the offense that he had. For the most part, I felt like we kept him in check and, we did what we needed to. And we kept him off the field offensively because we did, long drives. We just could not put points on the board like we needed to. And, we talked about it all year. When we get in that red zone, we got to figure out how to score. And we struggled with that all year.
And what is it about the red zone, Coach? Is it the style that you guys run playing on the shortened field? To me, it seems like it, this offense is designed to kind of thrive in the red zone. It could be off on that, but what are some of the things that you go back, you look at, and you say, this was a problem that should have been, that needs to be corrected or shouldn't occur when we get inside the 20?
You know, honestly, it came down, we killed ourselves, whether it was penalties, whether it was turnovers, whether it was lack of execution. You know, we can look on a few of those things. You know, I had quarterbacks turning the wrong way, receivers running the wrong patterns and not running to space like they needed to. It was just the execution, bottom line. And, you know, and it comes down to us as coaches of trying to clean that up. And, you know, we have to reevaluate where we're at and what we're doing and, you know, what we need to change to get better at that. And so, you know, I felt like we kept trying to do that throughout the season, but the results didn't change. So, you know, it's like banging your head on the wall. You only can do that so many times where you got to figure out, you got to change something. And so the coaching staff, we got to reevaluate during this off season and what we can do to get better and get these kids better, especially when we get in those critical situations in that, you know, that red zone where we need to put points on the board.
Again, our guest right now is Coach John Famala with the Emory Sport and Football Team. Coach, you talk about the frustrations throughout the year, and I think, I mean, looking at it from a simplistic point of view, it's a one-win football team that very easily could have been a five-win football team. That's kind of the way I view this season.
Yeah, no, I felt like we were competitive in the majority of the games we were in, which I felt good about, but, you know, competitive doesn't win ball games. And so, again, and it's comes down to that, those minor things, those little things of execution that gives you a win or not, you know, and that's what we were. We were probably half a dozen plays away from, you know, like you say, a five-win season versus a one-win season, and that's how small a margin we have to work with the talent we have. So we got to really be on our toes and execute well in order to win games, because there's just not a great margin that we have just as far as the talent we're playing versus the talent we have.
Coach, if we look at what you guys will have returning next year, or at least what we expect to return next year, not a great deal amount of seniors on this team, although you have several seniors that played key roles. How do you feel about the squad moving forward next year and looking at some of the kids that you're going to have to replace? The Drake Hoffmans, the Colton Wilsons, the Jesse Barnetts. I mean, there's a lot of talent that was senior that played a very key role in this team's success this year.
Yeah, no, and that's it. I mean, probably the number of starters, you know, the varsity kids is probably holes we have to fill that way probably aren't as big as last year, but those holes that we have to fill are big ones. You got an Easton Gordon in a slot position that, you know, had a great year. Colton Wilson had a great year, you know, in that Y spot. Jared Snow on the end, Drake Hoffman, you know, was probably our best lineman on both sides of the ball. And so, yeah, maybe not as many spots, but some big shoes to fill with those kids. But, you know, I think we have, you know, I've got three out of my five, you know, offensive linemen coming back. That's always good. I got a quarterback. That's always good. Great running back. Rance had a great year. And so, you know, we have some things to build on, but there's some really big shoes to fill and, you know, hopefully get some other kids some opportunities to come step in and, you know, make a name for themselves.
Yeah, as far as those kids that you have returning, I mean, there's so many underclassmen that I was really impressed with all year long. I love the way James Bowman plays. I think that there's a sophomore right there that's going to be a game breaker for you guys within the next couple of seasons. I thought Kyson put forth one of the most efficient seasons that we've seen from a quarterback in quite some time. And maybe that has to do a lot with the fact that you guys were asking him to do a lot more with the football than quarterbacks that I've seen, at least over the last, you know, six, seven seasons. But I thought he was very efficient. Rance, you mentioned it. He improved greatly throughout the season. His vision, his ability to use the cutback lanes later on in the year, I mean, it was evident. I mean, you had to notice that when watching this game. So several positives for you guys returning next year.
Yeah, no, and that's what we feel good as coaching staff, is that we got a lot of these kids coming back and a lot of key spots of, you know, kids playing in those positions, our quarterback and our running backs and linemen. And so, you know, we have something great to build on. But, again, we're still thin. We need numbers and, you know, we've got to get kids out. And we have to continue to have those young kids continue to come up and step up and play. And so, you know, that's how you got to build a program. It's a numbers game. And, you know, the more kids and the bigger classes you can get as they progress through your program, you know, I think the more success you'll have.
Yeah, with that being said, what do the numbers look like, Coach, as far as the youth programs and what you guys have coming up? I mean, is this something that you can see being a problem and something that you guys have to actively try to improve, or do you expect the numbers to get better here in the coming seasons?
I think it's something you have to actively improve as a community. Certainly, you know, I think Emory's probably a basketball community. You know, we used to be a football community, and we got to build that football community back up, you know. And I can see it in the junior high levels. There's a lot of kids participating, but when they get to that next level, there's a few more other choices out there for those kids to do besides just football. And so, you know, you got to encourage those kids, those athletes that you need to continue to play football, because it's a great sport. And then, you know, you look at our little leagues, you know, we had some towns that combined, you know, had to combine some teams together. And so, you know, somehow you got to get over that hurdle of the fear of concussions and the other things that are out there, that, you know, football's, you know, a dangerous sport. You know, and as a coaching staff, that's what we're trying to do with these camps that we do with these little kids. And, you know, it's kind of teaching fundamentals that, you know, football is a fun game and it can be played at a high level without, you know, causing a bunch of injuries. And I think injuries are part of any sport, and I think that's what parents have to understand. It's, you know, a kid walk down the street and get hit by a car, but we still allow them to walk down the street. And so, you know, I think it's, you know, you gotta somehow educate parents and kids that, you know, football can be played in a safe way, but there's inherent danger with anything.
Well, I don't think we have to look any further than your son, Bailey, who was entering his senior season with an opportunity to really finish as the all-time leader in interceptions going into the high school football season. Was it a football injury that prevented him from playing his senior year, right?
No, it's basketball. Playing in an AAU basketball league game, and, you know, planted his leg and kind of turned it and, you know, tore his meniscus. And so, you know, I try to equate that to the kids, try to tell them, hey, you know, you can get hurt in any sport. So it's just a matter of being smart. And, you know, I think if you go in the mindset, hey, I'm going to get hurt, it seems like those kids get hurt. And so I think it's, if you go in it with the, you know, some confidence and, again, take the coaching that you get on how to tackle and how to play smart, then most part, you know, football's a pretty safe game. You got more equipment on people than, you know, any other sport. So there's a lot of protective things in place for football.
Right, right. Well, Coach, you know, the saying is it's not officially your program until you're about 3-4 years into it. With that being said, do you feel that you guys have made the right progress over the past two seasons? I mean, do you like where this program is heading?
I do, honestly. Like I say, I've got some great kids, and we've got some great kids participating in our programs, and, you know, hopefully we continue to have that. You know, I think, again, you can measure success and wins and losses, but at the end of the day, you know, I've had some great kids come through my program these last 2 years that I'm proud of, and the things that they're accomplishing, not only, you know, on the field, but off the field. Just great kids. So, you know, to see them succeed, you know, and other things, I'm happy for them. And so that's, you know, to the coach, hopefully you're teaching some life lessons and some things that they can take, not only from, you know, the football experience, but just life in general, that hopefully they'll use the rest of their life.
Well, Coach, it's been fun all year to follow this program. I look forward to Friday nights in a big way. I appreciate you always taking out time for us, you know, be it during the week or after the games coming up to the broadcast booth. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of Emory football. It was a fun season. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate Jordan, you guys, KOL, and everybody for supporting Emory High football. You're a big part of what we're doing, and, you know, it's nice to know you have some people out in the community that are supporting you and supporting these kids and giving them a look into what we try to do. Honestly, we're trying to, you know, create some great kids, and I think we are. And so we appreciate you kind of spotlighting that and, you know, getting those kids' names out there. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's our pleasure, Coach. We'll talk again real soon.
Okay, thank you.
Always fun to get you on, Coach. That's John Famala with the Emory Spartan football team, putting the final touches on the 2017 football season right here on KOAL. We're going to break for just a moment. We're going to pause from football and baseball talk when we return. How about some NBA? Last night, the Utah Jazz suffered a big loss to the Los Angeles Clippers here on KOAL. We'll talk about that and some of the other storylines in the NBA when we return.